The great 37-day speech of Moses continues. Our Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, almost as he's chronicling the different things that happened in the desert, Va'etchanan el Hashem va'etahi leimor, and I prayed to God at that moment, saying, what was this prayer? The prayer was basically a request that Moses, that God should abolish that decree against Moses of not going into the land of Israel. But it's the word Va'etchanan that I prayed to God that piques the interest of the commentaries, because that's not the regular word that's used for prayer, which would be tefillah, Va'et Balel, would be the normalative. So Va'etchanan is telling us something additional. Once again, there's a system to the study of the Torah and its derivations from the nuances of the words that are used. Rashi immediately pounces on it and says that it indicates that when a righteous person prays, he doesn't pray and point out his good deeds and his worthiness of why he's praying, but to the contrary, he comes before God in supplication as if he has none of these deeds, and he asks God to bestow upon him the blessings just out of the graciousness of God's heart, so to speak. Meaning to say, it's not that it's deserved, it's just that he's imploring to the attributes of mercy that God has, and from there, and as a result of that, God should give. What an insight into the way to pray. Now, this is the way righteous people pray. Righteous people who do have a whole repertoire and storehouse of good deeds and of dedication, to which for sure Hashem should exceed the requests. No, it's not on that platform that righteous come forward. To the contrary, it's the recognition that really they're not deserving of anything. Because after all, God gives so much to begin with. So if there's a request, where is the request coming from? Or where is it to reach? It's to reach the attribute of mercy, is whether I'm deserving or not. Or perhaps despite the fact that I'm not deserving, please grant my request. Now we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu over here. And the word Va'etchanan, the Midrash points out, has a numerical value of 515. And the Midrash indicates that Moses prayed 515 different prayers of imploring of the Almighty to abolish that decree of his ability to go into the land of Israel. Speak of determination, and yet another insight into the way to pray. How often is it that we have a request, we utter a couple of words, we give it a couple of minutes, we look heavenwards, and then we say, we've prayed. God didn't answer. 515 prayers from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a lesson in its own right. And Moses says as follows, God Almighty, you began to show your servant your greatness and the strength of your hand. And the commentaries point out, these words are indicating you began to show, Rashi points out, is Moshe was saying, I've learned from you exactly how I need to increase in prayer, even though there's already been the decree decreed upon me. And then Moshe, as Rashi brings out, uses as an advocacy that right after the sin of the golden calf, you said the words to me, please leave me, and I will take care of the Jewish people in the way I see fit as a result of their terrible blunder of the serving of the golden calf. And it was then by your verbiage, by your wording, that I recognized that you were actually leaving open a door for me to come back to beseech on behalf of the Jewish people. Meaning to say, it wasn't a fait accompli at all. To the contrary, if there was to be advocacy, if there was to be pleading and request for mercy, that would be effective. And it's this trait that I myself learned from you, says Moshe to Hashem. Again, a very, very, very powerful point when it comes to the relationship between prayer and the Almighty. That Hashem really desires our prayer. And when things go in a manner that are less than exciting for us, we're not supposed to throw up our hands and say, well, this is it. This is what God wants our life to be like. No, to the contrary. There's an opening to come back, an opening to inspire mercy from above, an opening to pray to Hashem, to open up that relationship, to widen the relationship, to stretch that relationship between us and Hashem. This itself, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I learned from you, God. You pretty much showed me and told me these ropes. Nonetheless, the prayers from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu going into the land were not effective. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, that's enough. You've prayed enough. Leave it. Now let's move on. We'll pass on the leadership to Yehoshua. It wasn't to be. There is a divine plan, and there is a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going into the land of Israel. There is a reason why it was Joshua that would take over the mantle of leadership as they entered that new phase of the stage of the Jewish people. And of course, we put our best out there in prayer of what we think is the most important thing for us and for our requests. And Hashem wants us to. And Hashem answers the question. And Hashem answers the prayer exactly as Hashem, with the divine and immaculate manner. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it was time. He brought his people to the land, and then it was the disciple that took over the leadership. And from that moment on, generation through generation, to generation, the next generation, that is, it's been handed down, this very Torah, this very inheritance that was given to our forefathers and our matriarchs, handed down for thousands of years, right into our lap, in order to consolidate it in our lives, in our family lives, in our generation, to pass it on so that it can continue to be handed down in the greatest and a ceaseless tradition that goes midor lador from generation to generation. And may we merit the speedy arrival of Mashiach for the utopian age, speedily in our days. Amen.